He tells us something about their sense of destiny. So, Venus has gone to her father and said, you know, Juno is stirring things up and making awful problems down there. Aren't you going to fulfill your promises? Jupiter says to her, fate remains unmoved for the Roman generations. You will witness Lavinium's rise. Her walls fulfill the promise. You will bring to heaven lofty-souled Aeneas. There has been no change in me whatever. Listen, to ease this care, I will prophesy a little. I will open the book of fate. Your son Aeneas will wage a mighty war in Italy, beat down proud nations, give his people laws, found for them a city. To these I set no bounds in space or time. They shall rule forever. Even bitter Juno, whose fear now harries earth and sea and heaven, will change to better counsels and will cherish the race that wears the toga, Roman masters of all the world. It is decreed. Thus Virgil on the Romans. And thus that Roman sense, and we'll come back to this in a later lecture, that the world would last exactly as long as Rome. It is decreed. Now, not everything in Augustus's time was quite so serious and somber. For example, the poet Ovid, born in 43 BC, died in 18 AD, was learned, was accomplished, was prolific. I emphasize again the technical mastery of these Augustan poets. I mean, before they ever said anything, they were extremely gifted, skillful writers or composers of poems. Now, Ovid wrote love elegies, the Amores, the loves, for which he's well known, a didactic spoof, The Art of Love. It's a sort of a seduction manual. It's kind of a manual on how a man might have his way with a lady. And he wrote an epic scale encyclopedia of mythological tales, the Metamorphoses, the great changes. There is in Ovid a spirit of play. There's also a very powerful sense, a sense of deep feeling. He betrays something else, too. He's immensely learned. Ovid knows a lot. But it is perhaps his feelings which are clearest. You may recall that when we were talking about the Roman Republic, and after I'd been stressing the sturdy, manly values of the Roman Republic, I then quoted Catullus for you. So here, one of Ovid's poems. Maidens, give ear, and you shall hear. What is your chiefest duty? Pray listen well, and I will tell you how to keep your beauty. 'Tis care that makes the barren earth produce the ripened grain. 'Tis care that brings tree fruit to birth with grafting and much pain. Things that are cared for always please, and now each man's a dandy. A girl must be as spruce as he and have her powder handy. So, Ovid could be technically accomplished and a bit playful as well. Now, he got a little bit too playful, actually, and for a period of time, Augustus, ever stern Augustus, exiled him from Rome, but eventually he came back, and his poetry has survived as a delight and entertainment of the Western tradition ever since. A bit different is the elegant Horace, 65 to 8 BC, sage, urbane, Epicurean. He was prized in his own time, he's been prized ever since. He has been seen as perhaps the most technically accomplished of all the Roman poets. He was patronized by a man named Maecenas. Maecenas, indeed, who gives his name to patrons and to patronage throughout the Western tradition. Horace was one of those who flourished under Augustus, one of those kind of people who was provided an opportunity in this particular regime to do all that he was able to do. He wrote odes. He wrote epodes, he wrote satires, he wrote letters, he wrote a treatise on poetry. Again, a man of considerable learning, of considerable breadth, of considerable ability. Here's a 17th century translation of one of the odes. All translations, of course, are in some ways interpretations. It wouldn't perhaps be entirely helpful for me to read you these poems in Latin. So, the last time, modern translations of Ovid and Virgil, here is a 17th century translation of one of Horace's odes. Strive not, Lucanaway, to know what end the gods above to me or thee will send, nor with astrologers consult at all, that thou mayest know what better can befall. Whether thou livest more winters or thy last, be this, which Tyrrhene waves gainst rocks do cast. Be wise, drink free, and in so short a space, do not protracted hopes of life embrace. Whilst we are talking, envious time doth slide. This day's thine own, the next may be denied. You note the Epicurean tone there. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Of the future, who can say? Thus far the poets of the Golden Age.